DGS on KMOX 405. Let's talk about something real important here. It intrigued me. So, vis-a-vis LGBT and gay people and what people think and what people want to see happen, a couple things happened this week that interested me. A million people left the United Methodist Church because of their stance on having gay people in their congregations, having gay people within their clergy. And then Jordan Peterson, who's pretty much a known quantity, you either know him or you don't. If you know his beliefs. He was making the point that Pride Month and all of this, that you are celebrating cardinal sin. And so if you are a believer at all in the Judeo-Christian religions, that you are literally celebrating people going to hell. Now, what I took from that, what interested me, is that there are still so many tens of millions of people who believe that. I don't believe that, but I'm just one person. Other people do. Good friends of mine do. How do you bridge that gap, if you can, between rights, civil rights, of the people who are LGBT and who just want to live their life the same way cisgender, straight people do, and people who fervently believe that there is a holy book, not just the Bible, but others, a holy book that says that this is wrong and that you need to do something to save these people? Is it an unsolvable problem, or is there a middle ground?
Well, I think the middle ground is, does that holy book have any bearing on our laws? Is it written into our laws in any way?
Which the legal answer is no.
Right.
But if you took a survey out there, most people would say and believe that it's yes.
Yeah, that's something that has always tripped me up, is I was always told when I was younger, and I was, raised Catholic. I went to Catholic school and everything. And we were always taught there that there was a very important separation of church and state, where regardless of how you felt about, personally, when you're making the laws about what's moral, what's good, what's evil, whatever, that couldn't impact the laws. That couldn't impact your ability to do what is right for the country, because the country is, like, let's just use Christian as an example. The country is not Christian. You might be Christian making the laws, but the nation that you are making the laws for is not Christian. That being said, I think it's just I just don't think that you can, especially when we have like a Republican conservative majority, you cannot look at that and say we're not a Christian run country. You know what I mean? And I think we're more and more seeing politicians enabled by people who are voting for them, who want to remake the laws in a specifically Christian image.
Mm-hmm.
In a theocracy.
Yeah, like the Marjorie Taylor Greens of the world, who were like very avowed, like, you should vote for me because I'm going to make sure that your, evangelical WASPy Christian values are brought into government and used to influence.
As a lawyer, I would personally feel better if they said, we want to change the law, we want to change the Constitution so that we can have a theocracy. At least that's honest. Mm-hmm. At least you see them coming. When lawmakers wrongly lead people to believe that that is the current law, that's what I have a problem with. When they act like that is the law, like Boebert saying, like, there's no such thing as church and state, and it's the Federalist Papers, all this, that's what bothers me.
Mm-hmm. Well, the separation of church and state is also supposed to benefit the church. And that's what, yeah, I was raised being taught too, is like, hey, this is good because the government can't step in and tell your church and tell your pastor or your priest what to preach from the pulpit every Sunday. That's a separate thing. So it protects everyone by keeping it separate.
What protections would you say that people who believe the gay people are living a sinful life and going to hell and they want to spread that message, what protections would you give them?
They don't have to interact with gay people. They don't have to be gay. They don't have to get gay married. They don't have to go to a pride event. They don't have to celebrate.
If they want to stand on the corner next to Busch Stadium and yell that through a bullhorn, are you okay with that?
That's their right. I don't agree with it, but that's their right.
That being said, I don't think that,
if I don't believe in something that you're doing, why do I have to necessarily stop you from doing it in order to make my life better?
Because you're being compelled by a god.
But that has no bearing over the law.
But that trumps the law.
It doesn't. I mean,
not
give to
law.
Caesar what's due to
no,
Caesar,
but
right?
What you just said, that if you have the right to yell at someone through a bullhorn next to Busch Stadium, you are following the law. So you're within your rights. They're within their rights.
Mm-hmm.
And you believe that saying these things is much more important than whatever the Constitution might say.
When you live in a society, your rights are not God-given. Your rights are institutionally given, right? So that's what I would say, that you have the right to stand there and yell, because that's a constitutionally protected right of free speech. But you don't have the right to, like, take it into your own hands to try and, like, physically prevent a marriage of two men from happening.
Mm-hmm.
And, right? the million people who left the United Methodist Church have that right, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're going to start their own church or a different sect of Methodism. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly or not. But, I mean, that's their prerogative. If they don't agree with the church's decision, then fine. But I have a hard time getting over that hurdle in my mind where it's like, since I believe that God says this and you don't believe that, even though it's not a part of our laws, I still have to impose my beliefs on you. That's just really hard to put that together.
Yeah. What I always say to my Christian friends is our demographics are changing drastically, and this isn't going to happen in the next 50 years or probably 100 years, but it could happen. That what if the majority religion becomes Islam?
Mm-hmm.
And their beliefs are very different than the Christians' beliefs, and they have control of the House and the Senate and the Oval Office. Do you want them to be able to tell you, you have to do this or you can't do that?
Right. And this being a majority Christian nation, no one is stopping Christians from living out their beliefs. No one's coming into your church and saying you have to perform a gay wedding. That's not, I mean, if that is happening, send me an email. I'd love to hear about it, but that's not the reality. No one is stopping you from living out your faith.
Do you feel like with most things, and I do believe it is with most things, the drama that you see on screens doesn't really play out in real life?
What do you mean in regards to this situation?
Like in regards to this situation, that if we really did just let people live and do their own thing, like having a pride month or having a pride parade downtown, just don't go to it.
Right.
Just, I don't understand what the big deal is.
And if you're offended by religious get-togethers and religious festivals, yeah, then please don't show up.
It seems very obvious that we would just be able to abide by the, you know, live and let live standard. And yet, it seems so hard for so many of us to do that, to just do a live and let live.
As hard as you can look at yourself and as objective as you can be, as painful as it might be, are there things that you feel like you're bigoted about that you really would rather people not live this way?
I'm sure. I can't think of an example right now.
Yeah, for sure.
Moment.
Oh, beyond a doubt, I'm sure that I have, you know, one thing or another. I think a lot of people do, even if it's like an unconscious thing, you know, even if it's just a matter of you're raised in a certain way and you haven't been told yet, like, hey, don't use that word or don't say that like that or whatever. You know what I mean? I think that's very common. And I will now be listing all of those
things you're bigoted about.
All of those things that I got a problem with.
Changing topics, did you see the granddad? Do you see the guy that...
Yes.
This is so sad. This is so terrible. This guy evidently has been some trouble before, and his lovely daughter was graduating high school, and the superintendent was an African-American man.
Oh, I did see
And
this.
Before she was able to shake his hand, he walked up and shoved the guy away and said, "Don't touch my daughter."
Because he was black?
Mm-hmm. And he ended up being arrested. And I just feel so horrible. This was also the school, I don't know if you know this, that 2 years ago, half the boys in the class did the Heil Hitler. Remember when they took the photo?
I do.
So they were already sort of
on high alert.
On high alert. And then this happens.
Unbelievable. I mean, I feel terrible for the man who got pushed and discriminated against. I did see the daughter's face, and she seemed pretty darn shocked and upset by it, too.
But then again, not. You know, you can tell that she was like,
yeah, you know your dad.
Great.
You know if he's somebody who's going to do this.
Oh my gosh.
Quick break, right back. DGS on KMOX. 421 DGS on KMOX. Let's talk to Bob on line one. Hey, Bob.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man.
Yeah, I just want to say I really enjoyed that last segment because you guys were open and honest and just free with your thoughts and your feelings. And that's one of the main reasons that I listen to you guys. And I just want to say thank you because it wasn't like a judgmental thing or you were like just saying, this is how I feel. And I understand that other people feel differently. And I just thought it was great.
Bobby, I have no idea how much that means. Thank you.
All right. Have a good one.
You too.
I'm like about to cry, Bob. That was so sweet. Thank you.
And it's like you really don't want to judge people, even if it's not something you agree with, because then it just creates a cycle, right? Like if you start openly judging people that you don't agree with or think that they're judging people or whatever, they're going to judge you back. You're going to judge them back. Other people are going to judge both of you from the outside. And it just creates like a cycle that's just it's not productive.
Well, here's sort of my paradigm on life. And I've said things like this before. If you think about it, every single one of us thinks that we are right about every single thing.
Absolutely.
I think that no pizza should ever be made without sausage, right? Like that, it makes no sense to me. Why are you kidding me? There's no sausage in this pizza. What's wrong with you? And I believe that people are born the way they're born. And I believe that you should be able to do what you want to do so long as you're not hurting other people. I'm not convinced of any of the major religions being historically or scientifically true. But on everything from sausage on my pizza to who God is, I am flexible. I am intellectually malleable. I am not intransigent. I am not dogmatic. I realize that I have my own limitations. I'm only 5'10". I can't dunk a basketball. I'm not a genius. I can't do advanced calculus. I don't know exactly how a toaster works. So how am I going to stand here and tell you who you should be able to love and who you should be able to marry and who God is and what God thinks of you and whether you're going to heaven or you're going to hell? I'm not that cocky. I'm just not that cocky. And so I believe what I believe. I'll share it with you if you want to hear it. I'll listen to what you have to say about it. We can debate it. We can even argue about it. But neither of us are going to know on most things other than the sausage. Most of us are not going to know about the ultimate things until either we die and it goes black and there's nothing, or we die and we wake up somewhere and we go, oh, holy crap, I bet on the wrong horse. Or there you are. I knew you would be here. And the fact that humans and Americans especially, I would say, and I think I can say that being one, is that we act so absolutely sure of everything. And I think that's one of our big problems. Monsignor Ted said it better than I could ever say it about 5 years ago. We're on the show. We're talking about something like this. And what was it he said? He said, certitude is the opposite of faith. That when you have faith in a religion, certitude is your enemy. Because you should always be open to change, even if it's just a branch on the tree. You know, if you share the trunk that there is a God, but the big major branches off of it, well, I think it's Jesus, I think it's Muhammad, I think it's Vishnu, I think it's this. Well, you still share that basic trunk that there's a deity out there that created all of this on purpose for us. Mm-hmm. And if your trunk is there's a God and it's Jesus, and so is mine or so is yours, but you think that it's fundamentalism and women should only wear skirts and they shouldn't be heard in church, but I believe that you should sing and dance and you should handle snakes. Like, you have more in common than you don't. And yet what we always seem to do is just focus on those branches. You know, I'm pissed at you, even though we're in the same tree with the same trunk on the same major limb. You think that women should be able to wear pants and talk in church. And I think that they should wear skirts and only make the funeral pie. We agree on so much more than we think we do.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it's not fun. to agree, or maybe it's not. Well, I'll tell you one thing: it's not good television.
Right.
If you watch Fox News and then you flip over to CNN and then you flip over to MSNBC, then you go to Newsmax. They're not doing news. They are doing legal summations. They are doing closing arguments. They are presenting evidence for their paradigm. They are not doing the news.
Yes, and I think you're right, Dave. I think it's not fun, and I also feel like, on a less like malicious level, I think a lot of people just don't interact with different people that often. I think that's a big problem too, because then we get together and we have like our think tank segment on Tuesdays and we have a Democrat and Republican sit down. How often do people actually yell at each other? Or how often are we like, that one was kind of boring because we ended up agreeing on more stuff than we ever thought we would have? You know, it's just sitting down and having the conversation with someone who's different than you is going to reveal everything you just
said. Two people in a room bears almost no resemblance to two people in two separate rooms with a keyboard.
Right.
It's almost the opposite. You put two people in a room who have major disagreements and you make them talk it out for a few hours or a couple of days, they're going to come out with more agreements than they do disagreements.
Mm-hmm. You asked at the beginning of the last segment, is this an unsolvable problem? And I think that it's not. And I think that the solution is that. I think that the solution is, I guess, finding the ability to keep an open mind that we're all a lot more similar than you might think. And through that, we could find some kind of empathy.
Don't just keep an open mind that you might be wrong. Hope for it. Because every time you find out you were wrong about something, whether it's pizza topping or deities, you're that much closer to the truth.